Very good. Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to the July 22nd regular meeting of the Kingston Port Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the port office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. Please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. So we have a preliminary agenda before us. Let's see here. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and let's please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I've got a flag right behind me here. Everyone would join me. Everyone see that? Okay. Yep. All right. Ready?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America,
Republic,
for which it stands,
one nation
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. My glasses off so I can see. And I believe that we've got the general agenda topics here before us. I entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
I second with discussion.
Very good.
Okay.
Just questioning as to if any of the staff or the commissioners, because I noticed that staff and commission comments were left off.
Oh, right. As an action item? Sure. And typically we have that commencing the action item itself. So we could amend that and have the second public comment period be item 8.
Okay.
No, we do have a second public comment period. What I'm asking for is if there is any comments that are wanting to be made by commissioners or staff, we're going to need to add that. If there is,
yeah, we could slot that in as item 7.
Right.
Because I think that we typically have staff and commissioner comments as a line item, and then move public comment to an item 8.
Does anybody have
roll that down? Yeah.
Things they want to make, or
I'd like to report on the commission training from yesterday.
So let's add that line item. Also, Mary wants to amend her motion.
Okay.
I would like to amend the motion to approve the agenda as presented with an insertion before item 7, public comment, that would be commissioner and staff comments or reports, and then public comment would be number 8.
Thank you.
Second that.
Okay, very good. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Excellent. Okay, so we have, I think we're at item number 4, right? And I do believe I saw that we have a member of the public with us. And I wonder if you might introduce yourself.
It's Carolyn.
Hi there. Hi, this is Carolyn. Yes, I didn't realize I'd stand out amongst the crowd here. So please carry on. Thank
okay.
you.
No comment then at this point.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Carolyn. All right.
And it's nice to see you.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay, we'll move on then to the consent agenda. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. So we have three items. Approve the June 24th regular meeting minutes. We had a special meeting, so that would be to approve July 14th, 2020 special meeting minutes. And then finally, the warrants from June of 2020.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as written.
Second.
Very good. And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Excellent.
Before we go forward, the warrants were submitted by a separate email.
Yes.
And I wanted to know if there was some way that they were also available to the public.
Oh, yeah, I believe.
The warrants are available on our website right now under meeting packet.
And they're in the meeting packet here, too. I saw them at the very bottom.
I just wanted to make sure that they were available.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, very good. Thank you all. Okay, and now we're going to swiftly move to our action item. We have a resolution before us, which is,
There you go.
Thank you very much. Excuse me. We have resolution number 0703-2020. And perhaps, let's see if we might have a quick little explanation on this first. Greg, do you want to roll through that for us?
Sure. So we've been meeting with Kitsap County to discuss regional stormwater facility here at the port for...
Can you speak up, Greg?
Yeah, I can't hear you too well.
Okay. We've been meeting with Kitsap County to discuss a stormwater facility here at the port for this sub-basin in Kingston for over, 2 years. So now we're getting really close to the point where we want to have an easement, and the condition in terms of the easement that would be put into place. These are some proposed terms that I think are... It looks like the stormwater team are amenable to, and I think that having the commission's endorsement of these terms and conditions by resolution would help move this forward. They want to have the easement in place, and they're going forward with the design. They probably have about 30% design currently, and the next steps would be to conclude in an easement agreement and some of the technical detail with the Port of Kingston. So this resolution is a declaration of support for the regional stormwater program. It's an amendment to that resolution, the original resolution, July 3rd. And so as you can read through this, what it basically says is the Port will grant an easement, and there won't be any money that exchanges hands, but in consideration, the county will construct the stormwater facility, and they'll maintain it and provide all maintenance and repair in perpetuity as in return for the easement to port properties and access to our existing stormwater. So this has been vetted with legal. And I think that it's a win-win. It's good for the county, and it would be good for the Port of Kingston, and then it would be great for the Kingston community, so that we reduce the barriers to development for in the Kingston area, at least in the South Basin area for the most part.
Excellent. That's great. Thank you, Greg. Okay, we've got a concept before us here.
I make a motion to approve resolution number 0703-2020.
I second that motion.
Very good, and all in favor?
Before we do, I have a couple of questions.
Okay.
The first, I just want to know if there's any problem with having it be numbered 0703 when it's amending 0731 and it's 0723 today or 22 today.
As far as the resolution number is.
Number, yeah. I don't want to be picking you, and I just want to make sure we're dotting I's.
So as far as I know, the resolutions just go in order of, so we've had three resolutions in July. So this is our third.
Okay, so it just goes 1, 2, 3, and the next one would be 4.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. That's how they've been done in the past, but we could, if you guys want to change that, we could look at that.
Yeah, I think if we continue with numbering policy, that seems to make sense.
Okay.
So, anyway, yeah.
Okay, I'm in resolution 0731. Oh, that's 2019. Okay.
2019, right.
Okay. Cool, just as long as I know what's going on.
Yeah, good.
I did have two questions or comments about the resolution itself. Under the seventh, whereas, and I can't quite count because I can't see it. Okay. It talks about an intent to negotiate.
Right.
And I, again, picayune, who cares, but it said the negotiate shouldn't have a D on the end.
Oh, intent to negotiated agreements.
So that's a small thing. But number 8 talks about compliance with the law. And I think that's on the second page. There. And I just wanted to know, county is solely responsible for ensuring compliance with all laws and regulations. Should that in any way be predicated with laws about what, or laws and regulations that apply to the property, or something? It felt a little open-ended to me.
So I'll respond to that. Basically, it's just an all-encompassing saying that they have to be in compliance with the law, so that it transfers responsibility for compliance to the county for the stormwater from the port, regardless of whatever statute, federal standards, whether it be state, county, or even a city standard, if there were any standards in the future, that they're responsible for maintaining all aspects of regulatory compliance for the stormwater system. So that's why it seems kind of general, but it's so that nothing comes back or there's no expectation whatsoever for the port to be on the hook for the stormwater system.
Well, is there anything that should indicate that these are all the laws and regulations relating to the stormwater, or that would affect the stormwater facility?
It's already embedded in this resolution with regard to the stormwater. So I think it's
okay.
It did actually go through legal review. So when they actually helped draft that language. So I think that it's pretty safe. I think we're okay.
Okay.
I can imagine in a world, and this is one thing that may help this too. Let's say in a future world, there's an effort to become a city. So what would be required to transfer county responsibilities to the city would be a world where the county would see all of their particular infrastructures and things like that, maintenance requirements. And if in the negotiation to become a city, the city then takes over those responsibilities, that would be shifted over to a city stormwater section or something like that. So to keep it more loose about ensuring compliance with all laws and regulations, it holds the county responsible for making sure that they uphold those laws and regulations. Let's say, for instance, as well, that we would have a situation where maybe sea level rises or the rules change about water quality or something like that in relation to existing facilities. It would then be this responsibility again of the county to assure that they meet those water quality standards. So if standards change and a retrofit is required, then they're on the hook for it still.
I understand. I get that. I'm concerned that, and I appreciate that explanation. This is so general that I wondered if somebody set off illegal fireworks somewhere on that area, were we responsible for enforcement, or was the county? Just because this doesn't specify that it's related to the facility in any way. So if everybody's satisfied with it, I can live with it.
Yeah, I appreciate hearing that legal had also, been highly involved in this too. So, yeah.
I'm comfortable with it as written.
Yep, okay. That's okay. All right. Well, we have a motion and I believe a second. Shall we take a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, very good.
Let me go back to that.
Let us move along then to
oops.
Let's see. Is that it?
We're on
now. Right.
Public
so
comment.
Now we have commission and staff reports. And I think typically we do commissioner reports first.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary or Laura, would you like to begin?
I'll let Mary go.
Anything for us?
I don't have a report at this point.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so what I wanted to kind of talk about was the commissioner conference yesterday that I thought was really good. And also there was another one that I went to, the one that they were talking about. You guys wanted an update on the one that I'm trying to remember which one it was. You wanted an update from me on the economic forecast.
Oh, right.
That I went to.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is they said that the recovery from what has happened looks like a reversed square root sign. So if you picture that in your mind, that's kind of what they said it looks like. That there's been 20 million jobs lost in the U.S., 500,000 in Washington State. The national unemployment rate is 11.1%. The operating budget in Washington State is supported 50% by sales tax, so you can understand what it has done, because a lot of people aren't out shopping. So it's dropped quite a bit since last May. Said that there's a lot of uncertainty. We're definitely now in a recession. No one could really predict what was going to happen here. And one of the interesting things that they said too is that, I mean, we are starting to slowly recover, but that the biggest growth in sales during this has been with cannabis and liquor. I thought that was kind of entertaining. And the other, yesterday when I was at the commissioner conference via Zoom, they were talking about, it's the CEO from Magnix.
Yes.
Did you attend that one, Steve?
I did, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, that was really fascinating. They were talking about two airplanes that they're converting, a Beaver and a Cessna Grand Caravan to electric. And that once that is completed, that normally they would use for a trip they would use $404 in fuel, but once they convert to electric, that same trip will cost them $24.
Yeah.
So for an hour and a half long flight, 2 tons of CO2 would be used on a commercial airliner, whereas zero on an electric.
Yep.
So, I mean, it's fascinating the things that they were talking about. Electric motors, which we heard about this a couple years ago at the WPPA conference, how much cheaper they are, that with electric motors, you don't have oil changes, you have no oil filters, you have no timing belt to change, you have nothing. The only thing you have to do is rotate your tires. And so that's what they're talking about. And this is something that I had talked about previously, and I don't know if we've done any research on it, and I think Tara and I had talked about it too, about the possibility of getting some electric car chargers installed down at the port.
Yes.
That we might get some sort of that might be another mitigation thing. I don't know how that would all work, but yet, I don't know. But that's something to look into, that it might be something in the future that we would look at. They said that we really do have infrastructure here in Washington. Washington's one of the states that they think is a prime state that can handle this kind of a shift. And it's really fascinating. I mean, it's really something that, I mean, we don't have an airport here, but still, it's just very fascinating to think about it and the future and what it holds. So that's my update.
Hey, Laura, I think Tori did submit a grant for EV charging at the port. I'd have to double check with him, but I believe he was working on that.
Oh, good.
If I can interrupt, that's true. Tori did submit a grant for that.
Do you know when we will hear on that?
I don't. I can follow up with him. I haven't. I don't have a status on that right now.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Mary, did you have anything?
No.
Okay. I attended that yesterday as well. One thing that was extremely interesting for me was the fact that they were talking about having more so these, all the rural airports and smaller airports that are regional could become hubs where you'd have these smaller planes that would then go to, say, the larger airports. You know, as we know, Everett, although I think that's on hold right now, the Everett airport, and then of course SeaTac is at capacity. And so, you know, if there's, in a perfect world, a way for these smaller airplanes to get to these internal destinations so that you don't have these, you know, Horizon Airline and Alaska and those smaller planes that are then obviously they're on aviation fuel, and so each one of those planes has the same emission problems and a pretty significant carbon footprint. But the first part of the presentation, that was the WPPA presentation, was made by Representative Jake Fye in Tacoma, and also a man named Dennis McLaren, who I believe works quite a bit with the city of Seattle, and he's with the Cascadia Law Group. And then thirdly, a woman named Jane Wall, and they were talking about how, you know, we've got this funding problem right now with Initiative 976, and it's going through the courts right now, and they don't really know exactly what's going on with it, how transportation is going to be funded in the future in the state. But one of the things they've talked about would be a potential carbon tax that might offset the gasoline tax that is the current funding mechanism. The gasoline funding tax, it was really interesting to look at that in one of our WPPA meetings, and I think, Laura, maybe you attended one of those too. They were talking about the gas tax problem because of all the hybrid and electric vehicles that are coming online now. And if you are just plugging in your vehicle into your station at your home, you don't pay gas tax. And so they're trying to figure out, should there be a user fee, or is it based on your mileage? You know, that you still, if you have a all electric vehicle, it's still wear and tear on the roadway surfaces. So how do we make adequate compensation for that to even that out and make it fair, instead of the dwindling problem with less and less fuel use, more fuel efficiency. And some of the things they talked about in the meeting was improving fuel efficiency in vehicles, also cap and trade sort of ideas, and that whole cap and trade started on the East Coast in New England with the acid rain problems from steel plants, you know, in the Midwest and the East Coast, causing problems. And so they went over that quite a little bit, and then they talked about an idea of a carbon fee. So perhaps there's a mechanism where if you have a carbon fee, it can then be based on the type of vehicle you own, and if you own like my 1976 F-250, I probably am going to have to pay more to have that vehicle than than you would if you had a Terra school car, you know.
I got rid of it.
Oh, you did?
Now I have a big truck like you.
Oh, that's awesome. No, it's not.
Makes sense, right?
They said, hey, you know, in 2021, we're going to have to figure something out. So, and then again, they had the same, expectations that transportation funding wasn't looking so good for the future. So it's a lot of things in a flux right now, for sure. But WPPA has set up a committee, they'll be looking into this. But it really was quite interesting to see, because ports are all about transportation and connectivity. So it was really very interesting. I found it fascinating. The only other thing I attended was Mark Libby Ifland. Is his name Mark too?
Chris.
They're putting together with the cameras that we helped them purchase. They're putting together a pretty good methodology for figuring out what is going on transportation-wise, and so you'll see more about that, I think, coming up. But they've got a really good group of volunteers, and they're doing an additional training this Friday at 9 o'clock via Zoom for further training, if you will, to figure out. Hey, and so I attended that just to see, hey, how are you doing this? How are you doing your counts, your calculations, and things like that? They've really done a really stand-up job figuring all this stuff out with the transportation problem. Yeah. And then what else? But the only other thing was the additional meeting that we had with the Highway 104 partners, the Linvog partners, And I thought that was really well presented. And again, just firmed things up in my head about the situation. That's all I have.
It's really good to hear it more than once, too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep.
I wanted to piggyback on one of the comments you made, Steve, in reference to the possibility of using the small planes to go to different places. What they brought up was that might work for, like, right now, Microsoft employees are being bused like an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
From different areas around Washington State. And so that might be an option since we do have all these, they said 140 small airports in Washington State, 150, something like that.
Yep.
And so that might be an option for, it's like a mosquito fleet of the air.
Yes.
As long as they don't start until after 8 o'clock in the morning.
That probably won't work.
I wanted to piggyback or go forward from a comment, the whole discussion of how we're going to fund transportation. In the current climate of attitude towards government taxes and stuff, I don't see that this affects us any more than anyone else, but I'm so aware that when I bring into a conversation about taxation that, you know, we get services for that money. And the number of people that say, oh, no, we don't need that those taxes to provide those services. And it's so politicized. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Okay.
I think that's going to be a challenging, you know, I thought all along, with the whole Lindbergh thing, but if we were at the point we were trying to figure out some level of participation in the Lindbergh project, you know, we could do some kind of single year or short term tax from the port. And I've come to think we will have to struggle with that too, if that is how it works. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, so.
Yeah, because we are in a recession, and so it's kind of difficult to do things more so now.
Yeah, retraction for sure. Yep. Okay. let's see. Shall we go to staff reports then? Greg, do you want to go over a few things with it?
Sure. I don't want to, maybe I should let Ray go first.
Oh, okay, sure.
Ray's got a little into it.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ray.
It's always, hey, Ray. Always great to be here. I wanted to start off by saying thank you, everybody, commissioners. Laura, that was a great presentation as far as the unemployment and all that stuff. And I just want to say great thanks to our employer for keeping all of us employed. We have a very strong employer, and I can't thank the Port of Kingston enough for allowing me to be employed here. So thank you for that one there. Also, with what's going on in the economy right now, it doesn't show very much with our tenants right now. Everybody's actually pretty well spot on, other than a couple, but it seems to me like everybody else is staying on top of their mortgage, and I'm pretty happy about that I don't have to do too many phone calls to get them to reach into their pockets to do what's right. But our guest doc has been really, really wonderful the last couple of weeks, and the numbers are showing, and we are all the way full for another, I think anywhere up till like Wednesday of next week. We're even during the weekdays, not just the weekends, we're full, and we're continuing that on. Jeanette's been doing really well helping myself as far as reaching out to everybody and seeing if we can get them over here for a couple days and positioning. And then we got a lot of people calling, hoping to get into the marina and stuff like that. And they're continually calling. So we're doing well with that aspect. The only downfall that we had last week, we had one of our spark plugs here, and she's the youngest employee that we have that's so valuable to us. And hopefully we all can say a prayer for her. She got into a car wreck last week.
Oh, no.
And that's Faith. She was doing something that she really wanted to do, and that's she's so cute. She put a bike rack on the back of her car, and then she was trying to find the right bike for herself, and she found one that she was going to purchase, and unfortunately somebody blindsided her doing twice the speed limit. So she's got a tough challenge ahead of her, but Greg's doing a great, good job, and him and I are going to sit down and try to figure out how we can be of more assistance to her. But prayers would be good for her. She's in a tough spot with a whiplash and a concussion and a few other bad things that are going on. So we just got to stay strong and positive for her. We do miss her greatly. And we'll stay strong for her and reach out to her. If you ever get a chance to just send her a message, that's great too. If we're not crossing some sort of line that's not right or whatnot. But Greg's been really good about making sure that all our employees are taken care of at all times. And he's going to come up with something. Him and I are going to think about how we can make it right for her too, make her whole and let her know how wonderful and missed she is. So moving on with that, we are, as usual, like before, commissioners, we're still experiencing a great number of people coming down here on weekends because of the Washington State Ferry only having one ferry running. I still don't understand it, other than they are behind on employees, or they're, you know, a lot of them are out because of the COVID and stuff like that. So other than that, I don't really have a lot more to say. I know Greg and I have been in discussions about a few things that are going on and us moving forward. Staff's been staying strong. Staff's doing well. And it just seems like the little sailing club is doing really well out there, too, with the little kids, and they're moving up the ladder. Julia's been doing really well. I'm thankful that all of us are receptive. She's been downstairs talking with all of us and reaching out and trying to pick our brains. So thank you for that, Julia. Other than that, Tara's helped holding everything else together around here. Thank you, Tara.
Thanks, Ray.
And that's all I really have. If I have more, I'll jump in. But thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you, Ray.
Do you have anything?
Did you say me? Sorry. just a report. We submitted the RCO big grant. We worked on that. And then we are developing a LEIA letter of support. So that'll go out to, the partners. And then we've got more work to do on the LEIA presentation. And we'll have to have a special meeting so you guys can approve the resolution for the LEIA grant. So I'm hoping that could happen the last Tuesday of July. So I think that's next Tuesday, maybe after work session. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
If you're available, and if not, we can work around it. Right now I'm developing a schedule, reviewing the RCWs for the budget requirements for the port district. So I'm developing a schedule, a timeline, so we're on track with the budget this year. And then I found the state of the port, the one that was kind of recently worked on. So I'm looking at, maybe putting that into Publisher, another software program that the port currently has access to, and get working on that. That's it.
Great. Thanks,
Tara. Thanks,
guys. Nice work.
Great. Well, I'll jump in. Julia, and happy to be here. For first few weeks as controller, taking over from the fabulous Wendy, it's been going well. We have a lot on our plate, and just making progress, getting accustomed to the banking processes, warrants, just trying to stay on top of everything and learn as I go.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think everything's kind of moving forward. The LEIA grant, so we went through a technical review, they gave us a lot of feedback, so we're collating plus basically all the feedback, and then with Mark and Tara and myself, and so now I'm going to work on revamping the presentation for the final presentation for LEIA. So they have, for the LEIA grant through the Recreation Conservation Office, the second go around, they'll have a Zoom presentation Big grants, you pretty much just submit it and that's what you get. So we're talking about, we've been working with Kim Sellers from RCO, she's a manager for this area. And she's done, I tell you what, she's fantastic to work with. She's been super helpful. So we're navigating that process, but we'll come out with, I think, a really, really nice presentation that I hope they fund it. I mean, it's the number one amenity. It's not really an amenity to me, it's a need, but to get that bathroom rebuilt and expand the capacity of it, and then also make sure it's ADA compliant. I think those are, and then we'll also separate it from our power source so that they're not commingled, because that actually puts at risk. That's our primary power for the whole court. It makes sense to segregate it. And Mark Corden from Washington Project Consultants has been invaluable in that whole process. Another thing that we're working on, we are continuing to move forward with the Department of Natural Resources at the state of Washington. Don Olmsted is our contact there. Don's a wealth of information, and he's got such a deep background and years of service. So we've been talking about our port management agreement and about assessing the submerged lands. So we're working on that. The stormwater program, we've had a few meetings with the Kitsap County. They have a new stormwater program manager, Michelle Perdue, and then Michelle Philly is the stormwater manager, and we've been working especially with Michelle Philly, and then Phil Strzok is their consultant, and then we have Tim Beachius, and it looks like he'll be the project manager on this, and then they have engineering staff and a number of people. I can't remember everybody, but anyway, they have a pretty good team assembled. Andy Nelson, so anyway, we're moving forward on that, and I really appreciate the commission passing this resolution in support. I think that helps their staff, and it certainly helps solidify things for us and for me at the court. So they're planning on moving pretty rapidly on the stormwater program. Andy Nelson, who's Director of Public Works, is off, but he'll be back here, I think, pretty shortly. And upon his return, I expect that this is going to be fully moving forward. I did have, I got a nice email from Andy Nelson as well with regard to the follow-up to the SR 104 ferry holding lock feasibility project. And they have a debrief with all the five partners. And I want to thank you guys, the commissioners, your involvement in that, I think, and actually being the catalyst and helping push that forward and getting that funding, the $500,000 in funding. I mean, that was critical to getting all this moving forward. And if there is some federal funding that comes out, which some people believe there might be, if there's federal funding that comes out, then I think we're shovel ready and we could move forward on that project. If maybe after the election, I think a lot of people are expecting that there's going to be a big release of funds, kind of like the ERA money in the late 2000s after the 08-09 financial crisis.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think it's really important to have moved that forward, and you guys should take a lot of pride and credit, and also being able to assemble these partners. As I think that is the only way forward, is to have all of us partnering with, whether it be WashDOT, Kitsap County, Kitsap Transit, Washington State Ferries, and Washington State Patrol. I think so. That's a really, really important project, and there is going to be a follow-up, and I'm going to send the invite to all three commissioners. It's going to be on August 3rd or August 4th, 5th, or 6th. And so there's going to be invites at 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock. We'll see for one of those 3 days. I'm going to be out of town, but I'm sure that people, all of the three of you, if you can make it, you'll be involved in it. And that's going to be that broader public meeting. So I'm going to send you you're going to get that invite right after this meeting. We'll send that out. And then, Andy, after our last meeting, Andy Nelson, he sent me a nice email and said, I sent him an email during the meeting saying, yeah, we would like to also participate along with the county WashDOT on these projects going forward, regardless of who is the primary sponsor, whether it's the county and or partnership with WashDOT, whomever. The court would like to be involved and support your efforts, and he sent a really nice email back. saying that he will definitely involve the court in transportation planning and this immediate effort. So thanks, but thanks, that started all with you three, and I think if I were in the community, I'd be pretty pleased, because we have something in hand that's work product that is actionable. So what else? So there's we're just gonna get the ALEA grant, the big grant. There's a few things that, we've got a number of things to finish out on that. We're also gonna be doing some survey work of the existing assets, including the Hill property, to map that out. And I think we're gonna have to, I'm gonna order probably a title search and have some work done to make sure that all of our properties, everything's buttoned up and clear and documented. So there's no, just so you don't have any strange surprises. Sometimes it's just paperwork and things that need to be clarified. But so I think we're going to move forward with that. And then, as Tara mentioned, we're going to move forward. And as you guys directed last time, we're going to put together a flyer for State of the Port for an insert in the newspaper. And then the other thing that we'll be working on is we're going to be working on putting together the framework and the schedule for the strategic plan.
Yes.
And in the immediate future, we also have the budget that we're going to have to kick off here sooner than later. There's RCWs that give you the expectation about when you have to, certain deadlines, but we'll try to do that probably during August, September. Will be the bulk of the work, so that hopefully by the end of September we have everything ready for the Port Commission, including the review of the, or maybe in October for the comp plan, but certainly for the budget before the end of September we'll have hopefully a final budget I'd like to. And that's it.
Steve, I'd like to make a comment.
Yes.
A question. So, Greg, in some conversation along the way, you've referenced Eric, whose last name I'm blanking on, to be the consultant on the strategic plan.
Yep.
Did I understand that correctly?
I didn't talk about it today, but in the past.
We talked about it in the past, I think.
Yeah. I wasn't saying today. But I wanted to know if that is within the dollar limit of what doesn't need to be sent out for
RFQ or something.
Right.
Yeah, I believe it's. Yes, it is.
Okay, so you don't need to do an RFQ.
No, but we're not. We can talk about that after there's more discussion.
Yeah. I personally would like to be really involved in the discussion of scope and strategy, not outcome, but how we're going to engage the community and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Greg and staff. That was awesome.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the staff, everybody, and I'm glad to see Wendy here. So I just think that everybody working together, I think the port, we need to be in a better position, but boy, where we're at currently, given the pandemic, a year pandemic, and everything that's involved, I think that, we're really in a pretty good place, and as a result, really, of all the staff and all their efforts, and also the commission kind of leading the whole organization and providing that direction, I think that's critical. So I'm even despite the pandemic and all the uncertainty that goes with that, I think that I feel in a much better place, and I know that we're in a way better place than I see a lot of people in this world. So I think that's all of us coming working together.
Yeah,
really appreciate it. I echo Ray's sentiments too, and Julie, it's just and Wendy, we've all talked about, and Tara, it's important. And if everybody has a sense of well-being, I think they'll do a lot better job.
Indeed. Yep.
Agreed. Which actually goes to us being able to do a better job, too. So your satisfaction is pretty critical to us.
Yep, that's right. Exactly.
Good point.
Give me a Coke.
I'm not allowed to say this right, but we've been other places than where we are right now.
Yes, indeed. Okay, very good. Any other items for the good of the order in relation to Commissioner and staff? Oh, see, Tara, you've modified that. Good job. That's awesome. Any other commissioner staff report items? Hearing none. Okay, we'll move on to public comment. Carolyn, do you have anything for us?
No, thank you. Good to see that Greg is at the helm there, and good choice on your part.
So can I ask Carolyn a question?
Don't see why not.
Carolyn, what brought you to our meeting today?
Well, I just thought, you know, the silver lining with the COVID and the ability to have the remote meetings means that it's easier to participate. So just checking in to see how you guys are doing.
It's really nice to see you.
Yeah, it is, for sure.
Thanks so much.
Very much so. I was just commenting to Greg the other day on free range and conversation about what an important support you were during the transition times with the port.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much.
Definitely. Okay, very good. Thank you all. All right, well, we're moving on then to item number 9, our next regular meeting. Will be on August 26, 2020 at 6:30. So again, Carolyn, just for your knowledge, we do alternate our meeting times monthly. 1 month it's at 1, the other month at 6:30. So we try to get the different folks to attend at that point. So that's why we're doing that.
Very good.
I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting at 1:55.
Very good.
I second that motion.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Very good. Okay, thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good. Great meeting. Thank you so much.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you.